of Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. Look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel from the Lord came. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it. Now his face was like lightning and his clothes white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, because he's been raised from the dead just as he said. Come, see the place where they laid him. Now hurry and go tell his disciples. He's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. I've given the message to you." With great fear and excitement, they hurried from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my siblings that I am going to Galilee. They will see me there."
Well, he is risen. This is the one day we get to say that like multiple times, but it is true, and it is a celebration. I'm Pastor Chris. If this is your first time with us or first time in a long time, I'm the pastor here at Table Life Church, and it's a joy to worship together on this Easter Sunday that, I don't know about you, but it is a little bit warmer than in years past, it being in April this year and kind of changing the time. But I just want to welcome you, and this is a true celebration. Well, the title of my Easter message this morning is Chicks and Stones. Chicks and Stones. And there is a reason for that that will make sense in just a minute. And if you've been with us the last few weeks, you've seen that several weeks ago we had an incubator that was on the communion table here. That there's a picture of what that looks like. And maybe you were one of the lucky ones that tuned in over the course of the last 10 days or so on our live stream on tablelifechurch.org/peepwatch, where you could watch 24/7, and we did have people watch 24/7. These little chicks come out of their eggs. We have several of them here. If you want to bring that down the aisle, Aaliyah, we have our little friend. They are in the back. You can visit them before and after the service. That's Mary. Okay, so Mary was the first one to the tomb, and Mary's not happy. So, Aaliyah, you can just stay here for a second. I'm not sure if she's going to. There we are. And she has a little gift for us as well. There we go. This is our little Mary. So say hi to Mary. So I think she might be the first chicken in this church ever to be in an Easter Sunday message. But Mary is a little sweetheart. Happy birthday. Yes, she was born or hatched last Sunday night. Many of you had watched her. And in this incubation, that's Peter, by the way. That's a picture of Peter. He was the next one to the tomb. That's why we named him. He's in the back as well, so just chilling. But in this process, I learned a lot about hatching chicks. I visited Cedar Cliff High School and their wonderful ag science teacher who gave us the eggs, the fertilized eggs, to put in our incubator. And it takes 21 days for a chick, hopefully, to hatch. And I remember telling this several weeks ago in the first message of the Alive series, that even driving the 1.5 miles back from Cedar Cliff High School, I had these eggs in this little egg carton, and I was like, oh my gosh, I hope I don't break them, I hope I don't drop them, I hope I don't do anything bad that's going to interfere with their hatching. Well, we put them in the incubator, and had them in the office, and transferred up here for Sunday so that you could all see. And it's really cool, like, how this little chick fits in one of those little eggs, like how they just develop that way, and there's like a yolk sac and an air sac and all these little sac things that develop. But we had 12 eggs. We had 12 eggs to begin with. Two of them hatched. And I have to confess to you that probably last week on Friday, I was really nervous. Because I'm like, what if I promise people these chicks for Easter? Nothing hatches, right? And so I can't tell you, Olivia and Sherilyn, our office manager and director of family ministries, they'd see me like watching this thing, like staring at the incubator. And I actually prayed a prayer over the eggs and blessed them and said, you guys better come out of here, right? But it's interesting that, you know, when you're hatching chickens or maybe some other creatures that you're expecting, the problem is you can't control the hatch. Like, as much as I would have wanted to have 12 chicks for you today, I couldn't make it happen. Even maybe if you were watching the live stream and watching the little chick, you know, peck through the egg and get its little head out and start breaking through the egg, like, to help the chicken hatch would be actually to kill the chicken. I couldn't do anything. I can only watch and pray some more. And it's super stressful, right? That I couldn't help the process along. And it seemed like I couldn't move the chicken out of the egg. I just had to wait. I had to wait. I couldn't make it happen. So I've been thinking about this question recently. I'm going to give you Mary back. She'll be in the back after the service so you can visit with her and Peter. So here you go. That way she don't jump out there. So our wonderful attendant, Aaliyah. Let's give Aaliyah a round of applause here. She's our chicken attendant, our official chicken attendant. So she's going to take Mary back so she can take a little nap after her trauma this morning. But I've been thinking about this question recently. Have you ever tried to move something that's immovable? Have you ever tried to move something that's immovable? Like to make it happen. To try to make the chick come out of the egg. Have you ever tried to move something that's immovable? Well, for me, Easter is always an interesting Sunday to preach. And many pastors would say the same thing because, get this, the story's the same. The story's the same. But what changes every year that comes, that we visit Easter, what changes is us. Is us, our circumstances, and our world around us. And I began to think about how everything that is, how all the things that are different this Easter from last. And maybe you can relate for good, for bad. Maybe some things are the exact same, I don't know. But so much has changed, but the story has not. The story has not. What changes is not the story, but us. So we come back to the same story, those same words that were just read before us, and we hear something new. We hear something new. And so this year, when I opened my Bible and I was reading through the gospel accounts of the empty tomb, the resurrection of Jesus, when I came back to this story, there was one part of the story that really stuck out to me. One part. And I think it's really a question. It's a great question. And it comes from Mark's version of the Easter story. And it takes place in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, we're going to start out with. So Mark, the gospel writer, tells us this. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Well, we've been in this sermon series for the Lenten season, the 40 days leading up to Easter, and we've called it Alive, and we've been talking of the last 6 weeks, going through several stories in the Bible, if you didn't know, that are about resurrection. Stories of resurrection in the Bible for different people in different places at different times, that God had brought people back to life. And of course, on Easter, we come to the greatest story of resurrection in the Bible, the story of Jesus and the empty tomb. One thing we have to realize, though, is that in this time, before Jesus' resurrection, nobody expected a resurrection. Basically, nobody expected nobody. Nobody expected it. And that's the thing. Everybody thought it was game over after Jesus was crucified, after he died, after his body was put in the tomb. And here we see these women who are coming to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body for burial. And the practice in the time 2,000 years ago, was that when people died, their body was set in kind of a tomb, like a cave, kind of a hollowed out entrance in the side of some rock. And the tradition was that for several days, the tomb would actually be open after the person died. They would lay the body down, and people would bring spices. They would prepare the body, and then only after that time is when they would go and seal the tomb. And how they would seal the tomb, they would push a huge rock to roll and seal and cover. And this is a picture of that, actually, from the garden where it's believed Jesus was buried when I visited there in Israel. It's a big flat rock. It's maybe about that thick or so. And it's rolled over the side of the tomb. And we're not talking about like a big boulder here, like a marble exploded by size. We're talking about something flat that was rolled over the entrance of the tomb. And I don't know if you've ever visited like a natural park or some place or a place where that has like huge boulders many times out west. Or if you go to like Shenandoah National Park, you kind of see those. When I was in Colorado, I had a chance to see quite a few of them in Garden of the Gods. I have a picture here to show that. And isn't it true that like you take all these pictures when you visit these places of you like holding these things up, right? Or like pushing them, and it looks like you should be able to. It looks like you, this big giant rock, you should just be able to kind of jack yourself up against it and push it on the side. And you can't help but try to move it, and it seems like you should, but then you also realize when you look it up on Google, the thing weighs about 7 to 8 tons. It could easily crush you if it fell, right? The stone is not something that you could lift at all, or something you could roll easily. It's a major task, and it was a major task in that time to roll the stone, even though it was kind of designed in an easier fashion. It was a major task to roll it into the front of the tomb. But we have a problem here. We have a problem when we go back to this story, because here are women who are coming to anoint the body. They have all the spices they brought, and they're going to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. But here, the tomb has been sealed early. It's been sealed early because they should have opened it up or left it open for a period of time, but it's been sealed early. It was sealed before they could do what they had come to do. And if you really read the scripture in that tone, you can really feel the disappointment that these women had experienced, that Mary had experienced, that Salome had experienced. After everything they'd been through, right? That they had seen Jesus die this horrific death. They had followed him all this time and believed that he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He had come to save them, even though they probably didn't get that idea straight. They had followed him, and now they were robbed of this simple opportunity to bury him and to prepare his body. And you hear it in that question. You hear the disappointment in that question. Who's going to roll it away for us? Who's going to roll it away? Well, who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Well, the first way to understand this is quite literally. I mean, here is the stone that stood between them and Jesus' body. But the question, as Mark, the gospel writer, poses it, is also symbolic. The stone represents everything that stands in the way from where they needed to go. Everything that seemed sealed and set and permanent and untouchable and immovable. The stone represented their grief, their disappointment, their hopelessness, and the wasted time that they had spent with Jesus. And just as that stone was immovable, so much of what was in front of them also seemed immovable. The question they were really asking was, who can move something that can't be moved? It's kind of rhetorical. Who can move something that can't be moved? And the answer is obvious. No human being can. You can't make it happen. But as I read that question, I was also reminded of the things that feel immovable today in our lives, in our world. Do you have anything like that? Do you have anything like that? That something that will not change no matter how hard you try or you wish or you pray? It seems like it's always going to be that way. You know, I was thinking of the Phillies, right? Start their season, and it's only downhill from here, baby, right? It's inevitable. I was also thinking of the weather that we tend to have for church outreach events when we plan them. It rains every single time. I don't know what it is. But on a serious level, though, things that seem immovable. Maybe family relationships. Maybe injustice. Maybe people that you know that are not talking to one another. Maybe seeing someone else in pain and not knowing what to do or if or how you can even help. How about this? People in our own community here in New Cumberland who are living in their cars and eating out of trash cans. How about addiction in all its different forms and shapes? What about mental health? What about depression? What about bitterness? What about trust that has been lost or betrayed? What about just that nagging feeling that I'm just never going to belong? What about your kids that you're constantly worried about? Whether they're adults or they're young, you're not sure what's going to happen. It doesn't feel like anything will change. What about grief? Grief itself. And the biggest thing, I think, is death, right? Is death, the thing that feels immovable. That's a reality that's so universal and final that nobody, none of us, and anything will escape it. Do you have anything that feels immovable? That's where these women were. That's where the two Marys and Salome were. But what I love in this story, they had that question, but they went anyway. They went to the tomb anyway. They didn't know what the answer was going to be. Think about that. If you knew, like, okay, there's going to be this big stone, who's going to move it? It probably took, like, maybe 10 able-bodied people that are there to kind of roll this stone, and there's, like, three of them at this point, and I don't know, maybe they've been doing CrossFit, but three, even so, is not, as a female, is not going to be measured up. But I love, they went anyway. They went to the tomb anyway, not knowing, not having an answer, more sure it was not going to work out, nothing was going to happen than it was. And get this, the next line here in Mark is so amazing. In verse 4, he says this, but when they looked up, after they asked the question, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. It had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Think about that. They looked up, and this thing that they thought was immovable, that they didn't know how was going to get out of their way, had already been moved. Before they arrived, before they tried, before they asked, this is the good news, friends, in the most possible, clearest way. They did not have to move the stone. God had done it for them. And get this, this is what the man who's sitting, young man, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they're afraid. He says, don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him, right? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. He says, Jesus isn't here. He's not dead. There is no body. You didn't expect nobody, but there's no body here. He's alive. He's already won. Death is not final, friends. Can I get an amen? Amen. Death is not final. Jesus has broken the chains of death. I mean, if he could do that, what else can he do, right? Then all things that we thought that were true were not. All things that we think are sealed in our world and in our lives are not. We thought that the boulder was set forever, but it's not. What we thought was the end is actually a brand new beginning, friends. See, Jesus is a big fan of rolling stones. Right? If you start me up, can you sing with me? Will you humor me? Okay, ready? Ben, help us out here. If you start me up, if you start, there we go. If you start me up, I'll never stop. That's what Jesus says. That's what Jesus does. See, moving the immovable, friends, is what Jesus did and what he is still doing today. This was not a one and done event. This is an ongoing thing that happens now. And I know this because I've seen it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. The good news is that Jesus is still rolling stones. And it's not because I understand it. I don't understand all of it. I don't understand how this all worked together and how possibly scientifically his body was raised. And I don't understand all the bits and pieces. I'm still trying to figure out a lot of it. And I hope that gives you some hope too, that I've experienced it. See, Jesus still moves the immovable. No longer does death and the way of death have to define our lives. See, in Christ, suddenly all things are possible. That which we think will never change, God can. He can. And our job, though, you know, that's God's role. We have to depend and trust on God to do those things, right? The women showed up and the stone had already been moved. See, Jesus, he'd already conquered sin, already conquered death. He already made it possible for you to be right in relationship with God and to be restored and to be called into his kingdom. He did all that. But you know what our part is? Our job is to be like the Marys. To show up. To show up. To dare to enter the empty tomb. See, to see the resurrection, you gotta enter the tomb first. To see a resurrection, you gotta be brave enough to say, I'm gonna go there. I don't know what is up ahead. I don't know what is going to be opened up, what the destruction might be or the death, but I am going to show up anyway. I don't know the how, but I know the who. And that reminds me of something, though, that I think is very important, too, is that Jesus has the power to roll stones away all at once, but often it takes more time than that. Sometimes it's overnight, but oftentimes it's over time. Over time, he works to remove things, to work alongside us and with us. When we dare to take that step to show up, to remove the rock between us and others, to bring healing, to bring people back together, to bring reconciliation and redemption, to bring us into someone's story, to be that helping hand and help, for us to participate in the works of justice and righteousness and hope and love in this side of heaven. See, many times we look back and we see that the rolling stone did not fall overnight, but it happened over time. And just like a chick, right? A chick that grows inside the egg, it takes time. Often we don't get to see the process of what's going on behind the scenes and inside, but it's happening all the same. So friends, on this Easter Sunday, I want you to think about what is one thing, to name one thing that seems immovable in your life right now. In your life, in the world around you. What's a reality you've tried to shift? What's something you've been praying for, but always have this kind of nagging sense that it's just always going to be there. It's not going to change. And this Easter, you have an invitation to invite Jesus to begin the work to change that which you cannot, to breathe life into something that you cannot, to make a way where there seems only a rock. See, the resurrection of Jesus is meant to start changing and molding and shaping your life. And just like the story, it may be a fast thing that happens overnight, but for many of us, it may be a lot slower, maybe a process of days, of weeks, of months, and of years, but the truth is, Christ does shape it. He does move it. He does lift it. He does shift it, and he does open it. And in the end, even the biggest thing that we fear the most, death itself, has no power. That death itself, what he's done is already rolled it away. So even the most ultimate thing that stands between us and our life with God has been moved, and that gives us reason, friends, no matter where you are, to hope and to hang on. To hope and to hang on. And it's okay if you're skeptical. It's okay if you don't understand all of it, because dare I say, even the people who were there, they had trouble understanding it. But today's an invitation to take a step closer instead of a step back. To take a step closer and to make Jesus some space for Jesus to surprise you. For Easter, it's the day we know that stones are moved and angels appear and brave men and women dare to enter empty tombs. Let's pray.